Blog Talk Radio.
Hello. Welcome to the Psychic Funhouse, a special place of exploration, love, and healing. Stay inside your ride, but prepare to expand your consciousness. Your psychic pitchmen, Michael Espinoza and Lawrence Birch, are your guides as we embark together on a magical journey. Here's the entrance, and right there is your seat. So, let's start the show.
Hello. Hello.
Welcome to the Psychic Funhouse.
Hello. This is your co-host.
Magical intro.
Isn't it?
I know. It leaves me speechless every time I hear it. I'm in tears.
I am here with my lovely co-host, Laurence Birch.
You are? Oh, me. Oh, okay. Yeah, that's right. Hi, I'm Lawrence.
Hello,
everybody. And?
And this is Michael. Michael.
Oh,
Espinoza.
Right. Michael's here, too.
Hello, everybody.
Yeah.
And
hi,
Michael's
Michael.
Here, too.
Hey.
Hello, Lawrence. How are you doing?
I'm great,
how
Michael.
Are you, my
how
friend?
Are you?
I'm good. I'm good.
You had a good week?
I did.
Yeah?
How was your week?
It was a good week, yeah, I think.
Yeah?
Uh-huh.
We made it through another week. Praise be.
Yeah, somehow. Boy, things are getting hot in California. Oosh.
Aren't they? Good Lord.
Yeah, here too.
It is hot. Yeah.
Lots of fires. Yeah.
Yeah.
Fires are back.
There's a lot of fires.
Is it? Yeah, I saw something like over 300.
Up where you are?
No, in California. A bunch of lightning strikes.
Yeah. What was that about? That wasn't good.
I don't know. No. Roasty.
All right. So anything special happened this week?
Anything special? Well, I went down to Eugene, next town down, about an hour away, and I visited with a friend. And that was good. He's somebody I've known since I was a chef at a restaurant down there 30 years ago. So reminisce. He's a funny guy. You'd like him. He's from New Jersey originally.
Oh, really?
Jersey. Yeah. He likes to read, and he's a good writer. He also runs, used to back before pandemic, trivia shows down there. So he's
a
good guy for all sorts of information. It's really funny.
Oh, cool.
So we hung out for about
that. Sounds like fun.
And then
that sounds good.
Then I went to a really excellent local seafood restaurant and had fresh fried razor clams, which were amazing.
Is that good?
There's two of them, and they're ginormous. Each one was as big as my hand. Yeah, they're very sweet, tasty. Yeah. They're only in season for a short period of time, so it's always great when they're available. Delicious.
Uh-huh.
So my taste buds
not
are
my
happy.
Favorite.
Well,
not my favorite.
Acquired taste. I understand.
Yeah.
For those of us who like them, they're pretty tasty. Yeah.
I don't like, especially the texture. Ugh.
You don't like chewing on a rubber end tube? It's good for your jaw.
No, slimy. Ugh. So gross. Well, I think I tried to climb a long time ago, and it was gross. Yeah.
I bet if I gave you one of these, you wouldn't. I didn't tell you what it was. You'd probably like it. They're not really slimy.
Oh, they're fried. Right. Mm-hmm. You said they were fried. So, okay. So that's different. Yeah. Now when they're raw. No.
Raw? Oh, no. I don't know. You're thinking of oysters. Exactly. Nobody should eat oysters.
Aren't they the same thing?
Not even close. Oysters are not. I don't like oysters. No one should eat oysters. They're gross.
Exactly. No, they're all the same to me. They're cousins.
Well,
they just don't like it.
I see. Yeah. Well, clams are chewy, but oysters are gooey.
Okay.
So. How was your week? What did you do for fun?
It was good. I didn't really have any fun this week. I know. Poor me. I have to move out of.
Yeah.
I got to move out of my space. I'm in a church. And my healing studio is in this beautiful old church built in the 20s. And they found a new congregation to come in and lease the space. It's a giant campus. And so they told me I have to leave by September 1st, which didn't make me happy because it gave me 2 weeks. So I have to scramble. But, you know, it comes before my birthday, which is a good cycle to get rid of stuff and let go and clear some space. And it's time to clean out my storage shed. I have all my stuff there from my wife from back east. So I need to kind of go through that and go through all of that. And let it go.
Perfect.
It's time to purge.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
So
purge to purge.
I'm gonna be getting rid of all my fashion ensemble. So
wow,
clothes. Of course there will be key pieces I keep, but for the most part, like all the work shirts and pants and all that, a lot of suits.
Mm-hmm.
So au revoir.
Suits, huh?
See you later.
I don't think I've ever seen you in a suit.
Yeah.
Wow.
No. Not many people wear suits anymore. So.
I know, right?
Yeah. The suit business is hurting real bad.
I know. They're closing left and right. Yeah. It's because the millennials has made it popular to wear pajamas to work.
Well, what's his name? Facebook guy. And Apple, Steve Jobs, and what's his name? Mark Zuckerberg, made it casual, the new cool. So, But, everything goes in cycles in fashion, and I think it will come back after a while. People will get tired of the casual look and start including some pieces, jacket, shirt, tie, with their pajama bottoms.
Yeah. Right, actually. You wear like your underwear and then a tux on top.
Mm-hmm.
Locked up.
Absolutely. Oh, that's a good look, right? Maybe boxers and your tuxedo shoes.
Mm-hmm.
I like that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And a jacket over that tux.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You can
over
wear
that
like
the bottom.
Tuxedo t-shirt. And a tux jacket over your tuxedo t-shirt.
I like that.
Like the ultimate in irony. Yeah. Well, I hope you find a good space. That would be nice. We'll put that energy out there for you.
So you can rehome. It's coming.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
It's coming. I know it's coming.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm excited.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So it's getting to the point or the time where I need to get a reading. So maybe I need to find a good psychic out there to give me my annual reading. Do you know of any?
Yeah, I do know a really good psychic.
You do?
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah,
pretty
affordable.
His serpent. Oh, him? It's a he?
Mm-hmm.
It's a male? Okay. Well, you'll have to give me that person's name and number.
Yeah. His first name starts with an L, and his last name starts with a B.
Uh-huh.
So. Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm glad I got to see
your
old
shameless.
Office.
I am.
Yeah.
Well,
I need the money.
Thank you.
Got bills to pay. It was a nice space.
Thank you. Yeah, it really is. And people can feel mm-hmm. it when they walk in, which is really nice. Because I mm-hmm. love the space, so I always think I'm a little biased. But when people walk in, they're always surprised at how good it feels. They're like, oh, it feels really
mm-hmm.
good in
yeah.
here.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So I was thinking for this week, Mr. Lawrence,
mm-hmm.
We can share with our listeners some an experience that we've had that we think is profound or interesting when we've done some healing work on somebody. So
mm-hmm.
last week we talked about the psychic experience.
Mm-hmm.
So what if is there something you'd like to share?
Yeah, I think so. I could think of something. Maybe you should go first this time. Since I went first last time.
Oh, okay. You shy?
Yeah. no, I just wanted, you know, want to be fair and let you have the stage first, you know.
Okay.
Since I went first last.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So let me think. I guess last week I shared about a client where I went to her home, and
mm-hmm.
There were entities in the home, and so this is the same client. And when she first came to me, she was referred for a reading.
Mm-hmm.
When she came to my studio, again, I didn't have my crystals with me, and
mm-hmm.
So anyway, she came in, sat down, I said hello, and with all my clients, I ask for permission to connect to their energy and their guides, right? So
mm-hmm.
that I have, you know, a more open channel to accessing the energy and information. And so as
mm-hmm.
soon as I did that, this voice and energy came from her, and it pushed to me an energy, and I heard a voice, and of course in my head, not externally, but it says, "You stay the F away from her." That just kind of blew me away. And I was like, what the heck is going on? I didn't sign up for this stuff. This is, I don't know. But immediately after that, I felt my guides and my teacher and all the higher beings flow through me, come through my crown, move through my body, and take that energy that was like right out in front of me and push it all the way back. And a voice said, "You have no authority to speak here. Be quiet."
Mm-hmm.
And then I heard my teacher say, "Get up and heal her right now." So I suggested, I was like, "So why don't we come on over here? We're not going to do a reading today. We're just going to do some healing." And it blew me away because I started, going into the chakras, and the things inside were just astounding to me, astounding. And she was coughing and choking, and it looked like at times she was going to throw up. And I was hours healing till we got a lot of it out, until like kind of the stranglehold, I'll call it, because they were all like in the throat area too, to
there
kind of release
one.
Her.
Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah, it almost felt like you stuck your hand in an ant thing, an ant heel. Or an ant, what do you call those? Where do they live?
Nest. Ant nest.
Yeah, there you go.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm.
So,
wow.
Yeah, that just blew me away. Yeah, I will never forget that because it scared me, number one. And number two, it just really saw how, I don't do this work. This is all the higher beings. All the higher
mm-hmm.
they do the work. So, yeah. And what about you, Monsieur?
So, can I ask you a question or two first?
Mm-hmm.
So obviously you had multiple sessions with her, right?
Yes.
So what was it like, for a session? Did you so you started off, like protecting the space and protecting each other, I'm assuming, and then your guides just kind of guided you in the, what, in shamanic terms would be an extraction. So I don't know what, your practice's term is for something like this, like an exorcism
mm-hmm.
or removal or something.
Mm-hmm. Right.
When you were, removing these entities from her, what was your process? Like, just basically, what did you have to do to clear her?
Well, what we do in with all healing, we invoke for the higher beings to come, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And for my teacher to be there so that we are protected. And,
mm-hmm.
And this includes like the healing angels, healing ministers, beings of light. And so, we're surrounded and protected. And in what we do then is we what we call disintegrate them. So it's not.
Uh-huh.
I don't know if you'd call it I guess maybe you'd call it an exorcism, because they're being removed,
uh-huh.
but also they're
uh-huh.
being disintegrated at the same time, and we use. Different. We use different color light to do that. It's a divine colored light, and so it disintegrates them, the entities.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So you see the entities going into this light or covering person in the light or something, and that disintegrates them.
Well, Well, as we use our either crystal or hand, the energy is coming out of
mm-hmm.
the hand or the crystal, and it's, as it hits them, it disintegrates them.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And, there's also the intention behind the energy as well to disintegrate them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So it works.
So did you have to do like one at a time?
No, it's just kind of, you know, the gang's there and you go in and disintegrate the gang. I'm not looking at them. I'm just kind of going in there and cleaning house. Yeah.
And then do you have to do some kind of like protection ritual over after they're all gone, or what's the process?
Yeah.
For...
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So we do that. We, you know, we put shields around her chakras and herself so that they can't come back in. Or their buddies.
Okay.
Yeah. So it protects her as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then once she did all that, what was her reaction? Did she feel, did she know, you know, things were happening, or did she sense anything, or was she totally oblivious?
When, like, was she conscious of what was happening? Is that your ask?
Yeah, because I know you said, you know, when you went to her house and you removed the entities, she could tell, you know, that the room, the energy in the room had changed. Did she have a similar perception of what was going on with her when you were working on her? Or?
Oh, yeah. Well, she was aware of them. Like, because I had stated she was choking and she couldn't breathe. She was going to throw up.
Mm-hmm.
So there was a lot of that happening.
Physical.
Yeah. But they were also physically bothering her as well.
Mm-hmm.
Like she said, they would jump on her bed. They would pinch her, you know, flick her hair constantly. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So when she first came to me, I was like, okay, all right, well, let's see what this is, right?
Mm-hmm.
I didn't have any judgments at that time. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so then when I connected, it was like, holy mother of Jesus, what is this? Yeah.
Well,
yeah. Now, what about you?
There's a lot of different processes for doing healing work, depending on what's needed.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so the first thing that we do in shamanism, you know, which is what I practice, is unless, you know, it's obvious what's going on, is something called a diagnostic journey. Right, so we go to our guides and find out, you know, what's going on. You know, if there's like a spiritual component to what's happening with the person, or if it's entirely physical, or if, you know, it's a combination of both, or, you know, and then sometimes we'll get a specific, you know, like, prescription essentially for what to do. Like, you know, maybe this person's had some soul loss, so they'll need what's called a soul retrieval, and that's going to be what heals them. Or maybe a power animal is more appropriate. You know, and sometimes it's retrieving an object for them, or, you know, making a connection, or it could be, you know, somebody who was part of their life that needs to be, you know, just has a message from them, and that's going to be what. So, it can be, you know, it can be really nonlinear in terms of what the person needs to heal or just to, you know, recover. I was trying to think.
Can I ask you a question here?
You may ask.
So do your guides give you information about that person, or is it their guides that give you information about them, or is it both? How does that work?
Yeah. I guess, you know, it sort of depends. Sometimes it's just my guides, you know, that I'm working with directly who are giving the information. You know, it can be me, you know, basically hearing them talk to me about what's going on. Sometimes they'll just show me stuff. It's visual. That's how I get a lot of information, probably because I'm pretty visually oriented anyway. And then sometimes, you know, there'll be a totally different spirit that shows up. Sometimes it's their guide. Sometimes it's just like, you know, for lack of a better description, a specialist, right? So somebody who just knows what to say or knows what's going on with this person and is able to clarify it for my guides. But whenever I do, you know, as you know this, whenever I'm interacting with the spirit world, I always have my guides as basically my intercessionaries, right? So they act as a shield for me, and also kind of they're like my ambassadors in a sense to the spirit world. So I'm not doing anything by myself, and there's, you know, obvious
right.
reasons why you want to do it that way. But so, you know, and then sometimes, you know, I'll work on, you know, I'll work with a specific guide that I have if I know that the person has something, you know, that's really focused in a certain area. Like, for example, I have a guide that presents to me as a badger. And I got this guide when I was doing some work with a hollow bone, which is a kind of shamanic tool, spirit tool, that you can use for extraction work, you know, to remove stuff from people using the bone or to heal. And the, you know, so the badger woman will show up when there's like an herbal issue involved. She's like my herbal spiritual guide. And a lot of traditions see badgers as like keepers of the herbs and roots because they live below the surface. So, so anyway, yeah. So it just kind of depends on what the person's presenting with and what I discover, you know, when I'm working with them, and then what it seems like, you know, they need, what's appropriate. So I had, when I was first learning about shamanism, I had a classmate who was a really nice guy, and he also hunted. He, you know, hunted animals for food, and so he came to me, and he had never found an antler cache, and he was really interested in getting some antlers. You know, he wanted to do something with him, and I think it, you know, it meant like he could just feel more complete. So, you know, it was a big enough deal for him that we had learned in class how to locate objects, you know, people, things, whatever, you know, we needed. There's a certain kind of journey, right? Because that's what shamanism is about. It's always going on a journey called a sunbeam journey. And that was a traditional journey where people who did it would go, they would see themselves going up on a sunbeam. And then from that vantage point up in the sky or wherever they were spiritually, they could look down and see, you know, maybe it was game they were looking for or a missing person or an object or something. So I did this journey for him. And that, I guess that's the other thing just to bring up briefly is generally when you do shamanic work, the guides are way more amenable if you're doing work on behalf of somebody else, you know, than if you're just contacting them because you want something or you need something. Things seem more efficacious that way. So while I was up doing the Sunday journey, I looked down and I saw this area where these specific trees were. And so I, you know, took note of the landscape, and there were these three cottonwood trees, and there was a Forest Service road that was going to it. And I, you know, described all this stuff to him. And he, you know, when I started listing it, he was like, oh, I totally know where that is. I know exactly where that is. I'd seen enough features that he instantly was really familiar with this because he went on a lot of back roads, obviously. And so, so the next week when we came to class, he showed up and he had this huge elk antler. It was like, you know, over 3 feet long. And he said he went right to the spot that I told him, and there it was right there. So that was pretty cool. And, you know, I was like, oh, great, you got yourself an antler. He's like, no, I want you to have it. So he gifted it to me. I still have it, which is pretty cool.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
Very cool.
I think, you know, yeah, it was kind of, you know, I think when I was first starting out, you know, when we were first students, there was a lot of doubt, you know, in your abilities or just questioning things, you know, because there's a lot of imagination involved and you're using your mind's eye and you're trying to conjure things or work with spirits, you know. Mm-hmm. And so this is a great kind of bonding experience between the two of us. And also it was really affirming and healing for us to have, you know, a project to work on together that actually worked out. It was pretty cool. You know, when those things happen, you're like,
very
wow,
cool.
You know, this really is real and it really is manifesting. I mean, how could I have known? I mean, yeah, I suppose randomly I could have sent him somewhere and he could have just found one, but I didn't know anything about this spot. And I hadn't for the antlers before, so I wouldn't have known where to send them. I mean, he could have gone up there and it could have been nothing, but so, and they're not everywhere, you know, they're in certain places, so.
Mm-hmm.
So it was pretty cool. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So do they help you locate a lot of other stuff?
Yeah, sometimes I seem to be pretty good. Well, it's funny. I'm good at both. I'm good at losing stuff, and I'm also good at finding stuff. So I guess it all balances out at the end, you know. But
yeah,
that happens a lot with different things. Like I'll be, you know, going off in a certain direction, and I'll feel a plant spirit, like literally tugging at me and going, "Hey, come over here," you know. And I'll turn my head and I'll go, "Oh, look,
cool.
I was looking all, you know, this totally wrong area." And the plant was like, "Hey, dummy, you're going the wrong way. Yeah. I'm over here." So that's fun when that happens.
Cool.
I found something the other day. I was down in, when I was in California still, I went to go look at these seals with a friend of mine who works for a nature group that does tours for the seals and helps protect them in Laguna Beach. And she wanted to go to this one place where she knew these seals were that she hadn't been to just to check them out. So going on this long beach hike was really fun. but it was, it took a while. And I just happened to like look down at this right moment, and I found this, I showed you this, I found this knife, a diver's knife that had been wedged in a rock. And if I hadn't been looking right down at it, I would have totally missed it. And it was still in really good shape, you know, it's usable. So. Interesting.
Wow. Very cool.
Many cross objects. Yeah. So, you know, and you want to give meaning to everything, but sometimes that's what happens. So.
Mm. Very cool. All right. Want to take some calls?
Let's get into the calls. Yeah.
Yeah. But before we take calls, how can people get a hold of you, Mr. Nuance?
They can give me a call. My number is 541-344-7534. And you can always leave a message. I have a herb company that I work with called Giving Tree Farm Herb Company. You can also email me at givingtree@earthlink.net. And then I have a couple websites you can go to, a Facebook page, Giving Tree Farm Herbs, and Giving Tree Farm Herb Company, my website. So either one. How about you, Mr. Espinoza?
People can call me at 562-457-0457, or you can reach me through my website or just schedule a session, either reading or healing, at michaeljespinoza.com.
Mm-hmm.
All right, let's get to the calls.
Let's get to the
calls. All right, people, here we go. Here we go. The first caller is area code 917. What's your name and where are you calling from? Hello, 917.
Hi, my name is Stacy, guys, and I'm calling from Brooklyn. How are you today?
Brooklyn.
Hi. Stacy?
Yes.
Okay, hi,
well, Stacy. Good. How are you, Stacy?
Not bad at all. Just enjoying the weather.
Yeah, how are things in Brooklyn?
You guys...
Yes, it's less hot, which is good. It's been hot in 90s. High 80s for most of the summer, so it's kind of cooling off a little bit, which is great.
Oh, good. Good. Yeah, it can get hot and steamy during the summer.
Yeah.
For sure. Yeah. How can we help you?
Okay, so right now I'm working on myself for the next year, just me, and I'm getting a dog when I move. But I just wanted to see what you see in terms of my love life, like, next year. I would say around this, between, like, September and fall. Do you see me meeting someone that I actually bond with and like?
Have you not been bonding and liking the people you've been with?
No. Oh, no. Oh, my gosh. It's been inches. Yeah, it's been years.
Mm. Okay.
Cause, yeah, I'm intuitive myself, and I keep picking up on two nice gentlemen. I'm not sure which one is which, but I don't. It could be the same person, but I like him.
Mhm.
Yeah, but this is in the future. It's not happening anytime soon, which I can't get into a relationship right now. I have too many things to do.
Uh huh. You just want to know something's coming.
Yeah, the right person, yeah.
So, just so I'm clear, so there's a gentleman you know now that you like, correct?
Well, yeah, I haven't, you know, the thing is I'm intuitive, so normally before I meet people, I know what they look like, and I do see them coming toward my way, but I do see someone that I'm going to like in the near future, but not right now. I'm not interested in anyone right now. So I guess my question is, do you see meeting someone that I like in the near future? Yeah.
So you're looking kind of for affirmation or confirmation maybe from us.
Yeah. In the near future.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Hello?
Yep. Yeah, we're still here. We're still here.
Okay. Oh.
we're tuning in.
We're tuning in. Exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
I have to find the frequency.
Okay.
The right frequency.
Okay.
You're all the way over in Brooklyn. It takes a while.
Yeah.
I don't get you're going to meet anybody. Oh. No, maybe. It feels like you might meet this person in December, and it's going to go very slow. It will develop slowly into something more significant into the new year as you move into the new year. So it might be, you might like go to a gathering, an event of some sort, and either, you know, get introduced to this person, and then you'll be like, oh, I think there's something here. I think you both will. And then it will mm-hmm. progress and into the new year. Yeah.
That's next year? Next year or this year?
You will meet them this year. It feels like you're going to meet them at an event of some sort. Like a gathering, I see other people around. It's not, it doesn't feel like it's online. And then after you meet, you're going to feel the connection and it will slowly develop into next year.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. That sounds good.
Mm-hmm. That's Lawrence, do you have anything for her?
Yeah, I think so. Stacey, kind of right when you started talking about wanting a relationship, you know, in the not too distant future, this name popped up and it kept coming up and coming up. The name I was getting was John. And the hit I'm getting for you is that it's kind of, I would say, different from Michael's, parallel but different. So I think what that means is that you have multiple opportunities. I got the sense, you know, right away from talking to you that there you never have any shortage of people interested in you. That's not the problem. The problem is finding somebody who you're interested in, right, as equally
mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So you're in that position of being, in a way overwhelmed, and you have to kind of weed people out, and that can get really exhausting, and you can get kind of, you know, fed up with the process because you have to kiss a lot of frogs sort of thing. So I think it, you know, it's made you maybe a little bit guarded, but also just kind of, disappointed, and you kind of look for ways to, this is going to sound kind of, I don't know, crude in a way, but just to discard people, like, you know, you ask them to present something to you that's like, we may hit it off at first, but I can tell 3 months down the road, you're going to turn into a complete jerk. So I'm not even going to initiate because it's not worth it. So, you know, you have to be really economic with your energy because you're in a place where you really want to, you know, nest with somebody, you want to connect with somebody, you want it to be deep and meaningful, and whatever issues come up, you don't want them to be insurmountable or wreck the relationship. So so this person that is coming, you know, it's kind of funny, they're in the same place. I think there's going to be a little bit of a circle dance for the two of you. Right,
mm-hmm.
You're gonna see each other, and you're gonna spark right away. But you're also gonna like it's sort of like you're too, you know, I don't know what animal image it's really appropriate, but you're like these two felines or predators or something kind of circling each other going, okay, who's going to be prey? Who's going to be predator? Because you're, you know, I think you see yourself as an alpha person, like total alpha. And so, you know, if you're going to find somebody who's an alpha like you, they have to be the right kind of fit, and they can't be somebody who, you know, it's all about them. And so, yeah, so this John person, I think is, he's up and coming, you know, he's, you know, as women I've been with before like to say, he's trainable, right? So he's still, he's coming with a lot of stuff. So, you know, he's really going to engage you, and you're going to feel really, not overwhelmed, but just really like you, you know, once you decide to try this person out, it's going to feel like you've sort of entered this whole new life, like a new chapter in your life has opened up, and it's going to be like really, so absorbing that it, you're going to feel like, you know, you've almost entered this different world, because this person is really going to be dynamic, not like sweep you off your feet, because I think you're not you're not going to allow that to happen, because you're going to want to stay in control. But that's the energy that he's bringing, is he really wants to overwhelm you with, you know, affection and being considerate and being a real gentleman and you know, giving you what you need. And really, he's a really wonderful, sensitive person and a great listener. So I think there's a lot about him that you're going to just really mesh with. And and it's not coming anytime soon. I think Michael's, you know, time frame is about right. That's what I'm seeing. I think this could be a really, you know, a wonderful beginning for a potentially, you know, like a lifetime relationship. So.
Okay, that's worth it.
Yeah.
I am happy. Okay, sounds good.
Mhm. Yeah.
All right. Long as this is not an office, a job role, an office romance, because I don't do office romance, but definitely. Long as it's
yeah,
fine.
Right.
Okay,
I'd like
guys,
to jump in
you.
Here and add
uh-huh.
one more thing, real quick before we let you go. Is one of the things they were showing me is that the energies of these people that you have been, I'll just say it, dating or possibilities of dating in the past, they haven't been copacetic with yours, with your energy level. And that's kind of where everything has been off. So they're saying just really be aware of your energy and their energy when you're connecting to these people. You know, you might like them in other aspects, but energetically they're just not connecting to you the way that you need them to. Okay?
Yes, I 1,000% agree. Yeah, I agree with you. I think I'll stay on this down energy, but yeah, I agree with you. The other ones will be just a waste of time, and I have already made a pact to myself that I would never date anyone that I dated for the past or anyone that's in the future that might have the same characteristics or mindset. Never. I will never waste my time again. I was a lot younger back then, but no. I'm a little older now,
okay.
But yeah, I'm wired.
Good.
Okay.
Well,
thank
good luck
you
to
so
you,
much.
Stacey, and let us know how it goes.
I will. Thank you.
Thanks for
all
calling,
right.
Stacey.
Have a great evening. Thanks for calling.
Thank you.
Have a great weekend. All right. Okay, you ready for the next caller?
I'm ready.
All right. Area code 347. Hello, 347. What's your name and where are you calling from?
Hi, my name is Maribel. I'm calling from New York.
Maribel.
Mm. Hey, Maribel. Maribel, I think.
Hi. Yeah, you got it.
All right.
Okay. Hi, Maribel.
Hi.
How can we help
you? What can we do for you? Yeah.
So basically, I guess I wanted some insight with regards to the best method for myself, I guess for my soul, to be able to overcome feelings of inadequacy and I guess these self-limiting beliefs that I still have underneath the surface that I'm slowly uncovering, but finding it harder to cope with as I uncover them.
Whoa. Mm-hmm. You said a lot there. Mm-hmm. So, okay. So help me understand, Maribel, what you think Michael and I can assist you with all that.
Mm-hmm. So basically, when I get into these periods like of analysis where I start to like question and ask myself, what's the best way of overcoming this thing of anxiety? I feel like I get too much in my head. And I guess maybe I need confirmation of, I guess, the best approach for my soul at this stage that it is right now to overcome, I guess, these feelings.
And what kind of, so can you tell me more about your feelings when this comes up? Mm-hmm. What is it specifically that you're feeling?
It's specifically, I guess, anxiety, performance anxiety, mainly.
Uh-huh. So anxiousness.
Mm-hmm.
Are you doing anything now that's helping?
So the one thing that I found that has been helpful had been various things, actually, meditation. I used to work out, but that's no longer possible. Other things that I've done also is just I get very much into like music and writing. But I feel
so
like when it comes down
out of
to
your
it,
head.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. When it comes down to it, like for example, I have to do various presentations. And even like in the career that I'm pursuing, which is in medicine, it is very performance based. It's how you're perceived, and so I'm constantly in a struggle with fighting with who I am, who I believe, who I want to be, and I guess the necessary steps in order to follow society towards what I want to be.
What is it you want to be? Are you working on being a doctor or either in medicine, you said?
Yeah, a doctor, but also like a leader in a sense. And I guess that's just conflicting with the totem pole that is the medical field. So I kind of want to get to the top, but at the same time struggling because I feel that most of the time my soul is just very much wanting to fight that. And that's my default.
How come? Why are you fighting?
I don't know. I just have this innate thing within me, I guess, ever since I was a child, to, like, not go with what authority says.
Uh-huh.
And because I feel like...
You have an authority problem.
Yeah, yeah I do.
It's not necessarily a bad thing. Yeah, properly managed. But...
Yeah.
So
I
your
feel
sounds
like
yeah. No, you go ahead.
I just feel like that it's coming into conflict with my goals.
Your
That's
issues
my
with
thing.
Authority are coming in conflict.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, what do you do when that happens?
I don't know. I shut down.
You shut down?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, so maybe one, you know, solution is going to be for you to figure out how to stay open, right? And to kind of, you know, be in that middle place, right? Between, you know, don't totally go over to the, you know, disregarding authority side. And don't totally go over to the, I'm just going to do whatever I'm told side, but find that middle passage. And that can be really, really difficult, right? Because it's easier to be, you know, one extreme or the other, right? Because then it's really clear and it's really dramatically obvious. And that's why a lot of people give in to being extreme in their feelings because it's just so defined, right? But if you know, if you're, and we were talking about healing stuff at the beginning of the show, if you're a practitioner of the healing arts, then one of the best things you can do is to stay grounded, right? But also open as much as possible. And most people I know who have anxiety stuff, it's because they have a lot going on in their minds. And so they're super smart. They're really deep thinkers. They're broad thinkers. They're also probably like yourself, really sensitive. And so it can be easy for them to get, you know, energized by the stuff that's going around in their lives and miss out on the inner stuff that needs to be worked on. So you mentioned doing meditation. I think that's really a huge, tool for you, is to have a regular practice so that you start working on and reinforcing ways to quiet things down, because you're going to need to have, some real quiet times and quiet spaces, and you need to cultivate that and make sure that that's a priority no matter what you end up doing. So you get to feel in control, but not in a controlling way. You know what I mean? If that makes sense. But, if your soul is part of this equation, then, I would engage that aspect of who you see yourself. And by that, I mean, have a focused, guided conversation with whatever you perceive your soul to be, Mirabelle, and allow it to have a voice in your decision-making process, so that you're not separate from that, so that you're unified, right? And so I think the more that you listen to that inner voice, or whatever you want to call it, the more you're going to be able to navigate a pathway through all of this that feels more problem-solving than creating more conflict than is necessary. Does any of that make sense?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It sounds like you're saying, yeah, but. There's still something swirling around there, maybe.
Yeah. There is.
What is it?
I guess it's just old patterns coming up of like, all right, so this is what you need to do, but, what are the steps to actually get there? And, I feel like I've just asked myself that question multiple times of, like, what are the steps that I need to personally go through? And I just haven't been able to find them. So, in a sense, there's a piece in my mind that sort of gave up in trying to find them.
Uh-huh.
Because literally I've just used so many methods that it's like,
I see.
I'm tired.
I see. Okay. Michael, is anything coming up for you that you wanted to share with me?
Yes. One of the things that I would like to add here is one of the things that you can do to help you connect to the soul in a much easier way, and it's not through the brain. It's not through intellect. That's not how we connect to the soul. We connect to the soul through the heart and through feeling, and it's through emotion, and it's through vibration, and it's not about reason, and it's not about intellect, like I said. So when we're trying to connect in this way, that's where the meditation comes in. It helps us to move past the brain. The brain kind of blocks everything. So if you can, when you're in meditation, talk to the soul at that point, and ask the soul what it is that you need to see, and stay out of the head, and the soul will respond to you, and it will give you information that you need to know. Do you understand that? Make sense or no?
So basically, when you are in meditation, when the mind is a lot, it's quieter, then you can have more, like more insight into what the heart says. So ask the questions
then. Right. Mm-hmm. Right. A lot of the time, what I like to do is I'll ask my soul questions, or I'll ask my guides. I'll even ask my body stuff, right? Questions about what I need, what I don't need, you know, wisdom. And I pose the questions before I go into meditation. I'll meditate, and then after I'm done meditating, sometimes during meditation I'll receive the answer, and some of the times it will be after. But once, and a lot of the time when the answer comes, it's quiet. It's a very quiet, and the energy is different that's behind the answer. And it's almost like a whisper, brain. And then the brain kicks in and, oh, blah, 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 and then it just starts chatting away because it loves to hear itself think all the time. And it feels like it's in control. But we're not in control of anything. That's the illusion. We think we're in control. We're not. And so I would suggest that you start there, because I've had a lot of people come to me that are extremely intelligent, very intellectual people, and they try to grasp a lot of the information, right, to understand it in the head, and, you know, try to think their way through this process. And that's not the way it's done. I mean, you can kind of lay out the process a little bit, and that's all there is. And then you just got to let go and let the soul and the heart take over. The mind will block everything. And once you start, once this becomes a regular practice, it will become easier for you to connect to that. It takes a while, but don't give up. I would suggest that you continue to do that. And I have a feeling you're already, you're a sensitive, I pick up. And I get that you do receive information. But the brain likes to go, oh, that happened because of this. So it intellectualizes everything. Do you understand that? Yeah.
Yeah, completely.
That's where you just, right. So then you just need to start saying, you know what, be quiet. I don't want to listen to you. I'm going to hold on to this. And you know what you can do that really helps with this is when you start receiving information or any intuitive hit that you start getting, you have a journal just for that, and you write it down. Put the day, the date, the time, and what came through, and you can start referencing it. You can go back into history and look at what was true and what was not true.
Okay.
Does that? And so then after a while, then you can see the hits, right? Okay, this came true, this came true. And then you can start almost telling the brain, like, you know what, you really don't know what you're talking about. Not with everything. And so right now, all this stuff that I've been getting psychic hits on, you know what, this all came true, right? This is all relevant. This is pertinent information to my growth. And so you don't know everything. So it's easier to start getting the mind to be quiet.
Yeah, it's definitely a journey.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a process too. It's a process. So I think there are few people that come into this really open and are very psychic and are mediums and they get a lot of information, and especially when they're really young. And, you know, it's very confusing when they're young. But so as they grow into this, you know, as young adults, they kind of get it. It's been happening. But sometimes we're not that open. And it's a process. But if you're intellectual, you're up in the head a lot, in the brain. And so whatever the thoughts are in that whole process, that kind of rules everything right now. And so now it's learning, okay, it's not just about that. It's not just about the intellect, and it's not about the brain, and it's not about thinking. You can't think your way through this stuff, and it's about feeling. So just give yourself some time to move through this. I think you'll be fine.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay.
I think just to emphasize what Michael said, you're already there. You just don't know it yet, right? So it's really about learning to trust what you already know. And you don't have to do
exactly.
a lot of really new, complicated things or learn some, you know, miracle technique or anything like that. You already know what to do. You just have to trust your process and do it, Mirabelle. And like Michael was saying, the more that you do it, the more it'll become second nature, and you'll figure out a way to walk through all this, and it won't seem like you're, like Michael was saying, you're battling stuff, but you're actually creating allies with all those different parts of yourself that you felt weren't in unison. But it's not easy, and all of us go through it. You know, we've all had to go through that. We've all had to face those parts of ourselves that just don't want to be a team player and figure out the formula. And it's similar, but it's different for everybody that is going to help us be successful. But I guarantee you will. I know you will. And, you know, speaking from somebody who recognizes the kindred spirit, and Michael said this too, you're way farther ahead than you think you are. That doesn't mean you get to rest on your laurels, but it means that, you know, once you recognize all the work that you've already done and all the success you've already had, you also need to give yourself credit and gain some confidence. And that's going to be part of your learning and trusting process too. And gratitude, you know, you'll get to a place where you see all these things in a grateful way and not as something to feel confused about or anxious about or troubled by.
Yeah.
So you just have to persist, you know, as mundane sounding as that is, you just have to keep doing it, you know, and meditation is a habit, and just make it a habit, you know, and when you get back into doing the other things that help, physical stuff and the music that you like, you know, that'll help too. So, you know, it's all part of your process and your plan. You just have to engage. Just be present.
Yeah.
Remember to breathe. Breathing's good. Yeah. Breathing always helps.
Yeah.
Well, good luck to you, Maribel.
Thank you. Thank you both. This has been really great. Thank you.
Sure. Call us back and let us know how it's going, okay?
Okay. I'll keep you updated.
Good.
Yeah, please do.
Please do.
Yeah. All right. Good luck to you.
Hi.
Calling us here at the Psychic Funhouse.
Thank you. Well, guess what, sir?
It really is a Psychic Funhouse.
It is.
Is that what you're going to say? Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I hear the
funhouse
music.
Music in the back. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it was another great show. Thank you, Mr. Lawrence Birch.
Thank you, Mr. Michael Espinoza.
You're welcome. Do we know what's happening next week?
Well, I'm hoping we're going to have a guest, so we'll see. I can't confirm
we
it.
We are?
But, yeah, we might. We'll see. Yeah.
Exciting.
You have to be on your best behavior.
Good.
Can't scare
okay,
them.
Okay, I will. I promise.
Okay.
I'll
practice
be on my
that.
Best behavior.
Right,
okay.
Just keep saying that over and over.
I will.
So if people want to get in touch with you, what's your contact info?
They can call me at 562-457-0457. Reach me at michaelespinoza.com. And how about you, sir?
I can be found by phone, 541-344-7534, where I do shamanic work, healing work, psychic work, herbal work, and givingtree@earthlink.net is my email. And you can find me on Facebook or at my website, Giving Tree Farm Herb Company. There you have it.
Right. Well, thank you, everybody, for listening and calling in. Thank you, all the callers. And we appreciate all of you.
Thanks so much for listening and visiting us at the Psychic Funhouse. Hope you enjoyed your ride.
Yes. Yes. We'll see you next week. Same time, same bat channel. Bye.
Till then, stay healthy, everybody.
Yes.